This is the Out of Time Film Podcast, where your hosts, Tom and John, discuss everything from blockbuster films to TV and games like there's no tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the Out of Time Film Podcast. I'm Tom.
I'm John.
And this week we are talking about The Penguin.
The Penguin. I gotta say, this is impressive how Matt Reeves has continued the time frame from Batman 2022 in The Penguin. It's literally where it's left off at the end of the movie, which I find so immersive and so cool that we get to pick up a story that we just left 2 years ago. And it's funny because I rewatched The Batman recently and I was even more hyped to figure out what the story of The Penguin could be about. Oh boy, this was absolutely insane show to watch. I loved it. What about you, Tom?
Yeah, I agree. I also rewatched The Batman recently. It also has aged wonderfully. And this show is such a great continuation of that story. But obviously, we're focusing on different elements here. This is Oz's perspective. It's not Bruce's perspective. And that comes with a whole host of different things. And I just found it really, really interesting to watch. I think that what Matt Reeves has done with the idea of expanding this story on TV, it's not new, but it feels really, really thought out. And I have to give major props to the writer of this series, the writer and showrunner, Lauren LeFranc. And as much as Matt Reeves does deserve a lot of props for his work, Lauren LeFranc has done an incredible, incredible job. We talked recently about both Joker films and what they did with that character. It's not like in the comics at all, but really the issue there was they didn't really know what they were committing to. They didn't really know whether they wanted to make their own story or a new story, or if they never really committed to the villainy aspect or to the tragedy aspect of it all. There is no doubt that this is a story of a villain. This is a story of a terrible person. And this potentially is the best comic book story we have seen on screen about a villain, solely about a villain. I think it worked so well.
Yeah, especially that we get to explore the Penguin, a villain that we never really thought about. In Batman Returns, we do see the Penguin as a comical villain, but we get to see a gritty gangster mafia type for us. It's great to see a villain who we are following all the way through, even though he is completely spineless, really evil, and so morally complex. There are some scenes that he showed his softer side to people that he like. It's so interesting to go down this path, how he wants power, but also he wants to be remembered.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like any other on-screen version of the Penguin. As you say, there haven't been many, but Danny DeVito in Batman Returns is comical and very animal-like. And then in Gotham, the Penguin he's kind of like a spoiled child who is just a bit unhinged. But here we see a softer side to Oz, at least in the beginning. And you see why we as an audience would respect him, because of the way that he communicates with people and the way that he builds relationships, particularly with Vic, one of the three protagonists of the series. The bond between him and Oz is really important, to see Oz as this kind of mentor figure and somebody who isn't just gonna shoot a kid who is trying to steal the caps off his car. He finds an opportunity to care for him. And in the first half of the show, that's kind of what you think this Penguin is, but by the end, he really loses all sense of respectability. I don't know if that's a word, but like,
respectability, you
no longer feel any sort of empathy for him. And we'll get into this in spoilers, but the show does such a good job of presenting what somebody like Vic, somebody who looks up to Oz, might see, before tearing that down and showing you, no, this guy has no redeeming qualities, really. This guy is evil. He wants nothing more than to be on top, to have power and to be seen as a respected figure. And the show didn't compromise on that. The show wasn't like, yes, but also he's tragic. There are so few elements of tragedy in his story. There is so little to redeem him. It was like, no, this is a villain and that's that. And I loved that.
Yeah. And I love how the story progresses all the way through each episode. You start to like Oz, but then we're like, oh, he's becoming worse and worse and worse. And that made us realize what character Oz is really like. I really like that change. And I thought the first two episodes were just brilliant to figure out the conflict for Oz trying to pull the strings in the underground. And it's very psychological as well. How much can he do for a city or to protect people around him? He is a very lonely character as well, which we do get to see. All he wants is just fame and power. And you get to see throughout the show that he does some really messed up things, especially towards the second half. I gotta say, the world building again continues amazingly because we get to see his underground world of crime. And then the impact of Riddler's explosions around the city at the end of Batman caused a lot of problems. And there's the other question as well, is how does Batman come into play in this? I saw so many people discussing online, like, will Batman come in the Penguin or does he become the Drifter?
A lot of people were like, nah, Batman's gonna show up in episode 8 or something. And it's interesting that he doesn't, because it leaves this kind of strange hole. Not that he doesn't actually appear, but that we're so close to the criminal element, and the criminal element, they never talk about him, they never fear him. And I feel like that is a bit of a missed opportunity. There is one moment, without getting into spoilers, there is one moment where Vic looks up to the sky and he hears a helicopter, and to me that was the only moment where it can be interpreted as his fear of Batman, you know, in the shadows. But Batman is never mentioned. His presence is never felt. This idea of they think I'm in the shadows, lurking behind every corner, there isn't any of that. If you compare this to like the Dark Knight trilogy, where we get this very clear idea of gangsters, mob bosses meeting up in daylight because they're afraid of what will happen at the night, we feel Batman's presence. You don't really get that here. But there are some really, really great examples of connectivity and cohesion, like what you're saying, the Riddler's floods. You get this idea of what did that do for regular people. People lost their families, people lost their homes, and it kind of creates this even bigger gap between the wealthy and the lower classes. You don't really feel that in the Batman, because that's not Bruce's perspective. Bruce's perspective is the rich. There is a degree of separation, and I think the film itself does realize that at the end, when Batman's like, I can save people, I'm not just about my own vengeance, I can be a beacon. An absolutely brilliant part of that film, for sure. But there are also, you know, little roles show up here and there. We see Chief Brock a couple of times, we get Bella Real, we also get Carmine Falcone, and even small like Officer Kenzie shows up in an episode. I like those little things where it's just enough that gives it a bit of cohesion. Gordon's not here, Selina's not here, Bruce isn't here. We're not getting like big hitters like that, and I think that's okay, because it does feel separated, but there is still that level, especially early on when like the MCU, for instance, was doing TV and movies at the same time. It very much felt like these characters aren't going to show, you know, Coulson dies in Avengers, he's back in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and he never shows up in any of the movies. The movies never acknowledge that. It felt like there was a degree of separation, but I think I'm pretty confident in thinking that this feels like it will have an impact. I could completely see Sofia Falcone / Sofia Gigante showing up in the Batman Part 2. I could see this having an impact, having a knock-on effect. I don't think it is just going to be like bonus content. I feel like it will be something that, of course, you don't have to watch it, but I feel like it will be important.
Oh, yeah, super important. And I'm hoping that we get to see more of that. This is so interesting to watch from a different viewpoint of Gotham, like more of a modern take. You know, the Batman Part 2, I'm really excited to see where it's going to start with. And this is the other thing about Batman is like, okay, why hasn't he appeared? Why has he done that? I think it's about the idea of change that he's going through, because he's trying to do whatever to save the city, but then he realizes he's that beacon of hope, as you said, and why hasn't he appeared? I think, you know, he's going through change, he's understanding understanding what he can do for Gotham as Bruce Wayne as well. How much of an impact can he have in part two? You know, like, how could he save the city? Because the city is completely broken by the floods as well. And it is so interesting where that's going
to
go.
Yeah, I would love to see this Bruce have more of a public persona. I really enjoyed how this show, as we're saying, it's very cohesive of the Batman, but there are some really cool ways in which it's different. Like, it's shot different, it's edited different, the way the camera moves. But I think also we get to spend a lot of time with Gotham in the day rather than in the night. Obviously, as I said earlier, there is a lot of nighttime stuff and the Batman presence isn't exactly felt. But Oz isn't as broody as Bruce. He's got more optimism, more confidence, and he's not out for vengeance. He's out for power. He's out to be liked. So we do see Gotham in the light in this show. And I think it's very telling that in episode one, instead of something moody, like Something in the Way that Bruce listens to, Oz listens to 9 to 5. And I love that idea that, you know, Bruce isolates himself from everyone and he struggles to open up to even Alfred. But Oz, he has his relationship with his mum, with Vic, and Batman, he speaks very plainly and acts with his fists. But Oz, you know, he's a talker and he loves to kind of impart wisdom on Vic. And especially early on, he does a lot of like playing both sides and quick talking his way out of situations. And the way that it plays with the dichotomy between the two, I think it really works together. It gives it this kind of poetry. It's all this thing that makes this and the Batman mirror images of each other. And it gives it that cohesion. But at the same time, it doesn't think that to make us enjoy this series or to make the Penguin interesting, he's got to be an anti-hero or a tragic character. It's not Joker. It's not Venom. It's not Morbius. It's not Madame Web. It's not any of these villainous stories where the villains are actually heroes. Penguin is a villain. And if anything, the character who is that classic villain of they're doing terrible things but have a really tragic backstory, that's Sophia, who is a fantastic, fantastic foil to Oz in this. Because in episode 4 or 5, we get her backstory, and it's like the most devastating and difficult to watch because of the way that she was mistreated by everybody. You understand everything she does because of how much she was betrayed and looked down upon. And obviously she does terrible, terrible things, but that's the character where they add those layers of tragedy and you kind of understand it. You feel that empathy for her.
Yeah. Exploring Sophia was so interesting, especially from episode 1, because you were trying to figure out who she is exactly. And then in episode 3, I believe, you do get to see that dynamic between Sophia and Oz. And I thought that was just so interesting. I mean, you do get to see their conflicts clash with each other from episode 1, 2, and 3. And it's like, okay, do they ever pass? And then episode 4 does it beautifully well, where, you know, Oz was a driver and he has done so much. But then it's really haunting for Oz is like, will Sophia get back to me because I've did this, or has the whole family gone back to me? And it really reminded me, the family reminded me of the Long Halloween, you know, like all the murders that happened, they all just fight each other. I mean, you do get to see other families as well. Again, it's the cohesion, and like we get to see more parts of the world building as well, like what the other families have. And then Oz has control, and it is so morally complex what he does. We're rooting for him, but it's like, oh my god.
Yeah, and I think this is probably a good time to go into spoilers, because the way that the two families, Falcone's and Maroni's, are kind of picked off throughout the season by Sophia and by Oz, who are both playing this game of 4D chess. It's amazing. And obviously there's the sequence where Sophia gasses all of the remaining Falcone's Gigantes.
Oh,
and
brilliant. Yeah.
An amazing play from her.
Yeah.
And then obviously there's the very early move where Oz kills Alberto Falcone. Again, it's really brilliant to see Oz's sometimes impulsive things that he does and how he spins them. And he's been doing that since he was a child. Obviously, he murders his brothers by leaving them in that thing. And he's continuously trying to talk his way out of that and lie about it, even when his mum could be being harmed and even killed before him. He still won't admit it. And all throughout, that's what he's doing. You know, he denies the things that he does, but ultimately he's playing all the sides to try and get on top. And he doesn't get away with it, but he does eventually come out on top. Even though they find out what he's doing, he still manages to win, which I think is incredible just to kind of watch unfold. And as well, you're seeing throughout the ways that these mob bosses look down on everyone. And the thing that I loved so much was that at the end, the thing that clears out everyone to make Penguin at the top is the fact that all of their lieutenants, all of their second in commands, all of their kind of underlings kill all the mob bosses. Every single one get murdered by whoever is directly below them. And I think that's a brilliant look into this Gotham. This Gotham is the kind of place where everyone is being mistreated. Everyone's trying to claw their way up to the top. And they all get influenced by Oz to grab that power, which eventually leads him to being at the top. And that is, of course, what makes him do the unforgivable. The thing that every fan of this show has waiting. I feel like everyone wants Batman to beat Oz to a bloody pulp because, yeah, his murder of Vic, literally strangling him to death simply because he believes family is a weakness and he believes that having anyone that he genuinely likes is going to be his detriment. But also, as his second in command, Vic could very well overthrow Oz. That could be the thing he does. But that was just devastating to watch.
That was so cool from the writers. Oh my God.
Sorry, can I just check? Did you just say cool or cruel?
Cool.
Just imagine you're like, yeah, dude, that's so cool. That was so metal.
That was devastating. I wanted Vic to get out of the situation. He has someone to love, and then he had so many opportunities to get out. But the one thing that really devastates me is the ID card that Vic has. Penguin takes it away from him and claims him, then just throws it down into this dark and muddy water. And it's like, he just throws his life away. That one thing that claimed his family. And it's like, oh my God. Ah, it's so sad. Like, he's done so much for Oz, but then there's nothing he can do. And that is just so devastating that we follow up a character that we really like and we really support. He's been through a lot, like losing his family. It's so sad, man. The writers, why? Why do you do this to me?
He does a great job, and he got Oz to the top. Without him, Oz wouldn't be where he ends up. And it's so tragic that he dies without a name, without anything that could identify him. And
A missing poster as well. A missing poster. Have you seen that on Twitter?
Yes, I've seen that. Poster. Those That's sick mad. Bastards.
Oh, mad. Oz, when I get you.
The thing that I love about the ending, we get a couple of little hints to what's to come. Selina sends a message to Sophia. I think that's a really interesting idea of how these two characters are gonna maybe come together. But really, the big thing that everyone knows is the bat signal. Oz has finally done enough.
It's the bat.
It's the freaking bat. He's finally done enough that's alerted somebody at that high level. Obviously, Batman has probably had a lot on his mind, but a lot that's been going on hasn't been that high profile. And so for him to finally get to that level where, you know, that massive bomb went off and all these crime bosses are murdered, that, like, Batman is now in play. And I love that it also comes to the moment where the audience now hates Oz the most. And so we are ready to see Batman go Arkham style on him and just beat him to shit. I just love all the memes I've been seeing of just Batman beating the Penguin. You know, like the crunch in Arkham when you like knock someone out and it's like, I love it.
Batman gets a door and he puts it on the bad guys. You know, you haven't seen that. He's like,
yes. Yeah. Oh my
yeah,
God.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And brilliant.
This is really high profile. What Batman, you know, with consequences as well. I think with Oz, it's interesting that he does learn about the consequences that he had, you know, throughout the story, but he doesn't really. He's trying his best to not tell anyone about his secrets or what he's trying to do. He's just doing whatever it takes to get into the top. And one thing that really was so sad was how much he really cared about his mother. And then he wouldn't say anything about his brothers at all. And he would just not spill the secrets or like what he's done. And even further injure his mother as well. That is so spineless. It's absolutely mad that we follow this guy all the way through. This show really reminded me of stories of like, you know, Godfather, The Sopranos. But I loved, one thing that I absolutely loved was with Sophia. She went to Arkham. And we've never fully explored Arkham in the movie. But I'm really glad to see we do get to see this completely insane, but also like, you know, how Joker 2 doesn't really commit to the whole theme of imprisonment and like how it doesn't go through like the issues of that. This does that as well with Arkham, like how the doctors treat the patients. They fully committed to that idea of like Arkham. Because, I mean, we do get to see Arkham a lot in Batman. It's really good to see that.
Yeah. And if you remember as well, Matt Reeves was going to be developing an Arkham series of some sort.
Yes.
And also there was a GCPD series. I don't really know what the current state is, but there's obviously a story that he wants to tell with Arkham. And so there is more expanding to be done, which is great, because because in the movies, we've never kind of seen Arkham in any depth. And so I'd really like to see that, maybe even build to the point when we've got a bunch of rogues in Arkham, we can do a similar kind of Batman's trapped there. That would be very fun for sure. But I think the final thing that I want to say about the Penguin is that in just two installments, is this Batman epic crime saga more successful at being a TV film universe than both the DCU and MCU? Obviously, we're just about to start the DCU, but the DCEU was all over the place, you know, really in its connectivity and in its overarching themes. The MCU has been effective in various ways, but it's got this certain brand that is a little bit boring. I think that this kind of is what you want. The Batman and the Penguin, they both feel different but cohesive. They both have a lot to say. One really nicely leads into the other. I kind of feel like this is the perfect realization of that shared universe idea.
Yeah, it's amazing how they bridged with a movie and then for the show. And then I'm excited how they're going to do for different parts as well. Like, what are they going to leave into the story? You know, where are we going to leave off? It was so amazing, but also hauntingly to watch as well.
I mean, I guess there is one other universe across film and TV that does it right, and it's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem and Tales of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That's right, baby, they got it right.
That's right. Okay, I see it. I completely forgot about that. That was great.
Absolutely brilliant. So what are you gonna give Penguin out of 10?
I'm going to give it an 8, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'm going to give it a 9.
We haven't talked about Colin Firth, like how amazing he was. You know,
Colin Farrell.
No.
Colin Firth.
Oh my
God. Colin Firth.
It's Colin Farrell.
Amazing.
Oh my God, my brain.
I didn't even know that it was Colin Firth. He was just, he disappeared into the role.
It's Colin Farrell. Oh, well, speaking of Colin Firth, Bridget Jones thing.
He's dead. He's gone. Thank you everybody for listening. If you're listening on YouTube and you enjoyed it, you can like and subscribe if you want to see more. And if you're listening on Spotify or Apple, you can follow and give us a 5-star review if you think we're worthy. I know we said we were going to do Gladiator 2 this week, but I don't got time. I'm a busy guy. We're doing Penguin because we can record it early. It's fine. We'll do Gladiator 2 at some point. But next week we are going to be doing Wicked Part 1, a musical. Very exciting. I don't know what to expect. Have you seen the stage show?
Yes, many times.
We've got an aficionado here. This guy knows what he's doing.
I'm just going to be like a nerd. I'm like, actually, Elphabet is supposed to be standing there. Actually, it's in the show.
they turned the first half of the musical into an entire 2.5-hour movie. Yeah, who knows how that's going to go, but that is next week. And you can send us an email, lastimefilmpod@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts on Wicked. We're recording next Friday, so let us know your thoughts on Wicked by then, and we'll answer it right here on the podcast next week.
Yes, and you can follow us on Instagram at Out of Time Film Pod to see our incredible thumbnails from Zane Aspel, Twitter for more thoughts from Tom and me, and TikTok to see edited clips, which are all also on Instagram Reels and YouTube Shorts. And you can find links to that all in the description below. Thanks to L. James Mayer for the excellent theme and Roland Phillips for vocals, as always. And I think that's everything. Take what you're given.
Give nothing back.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Mr. Darcy's dead.